We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Romans chapter 12 is an awesome, awesome chapter, and each verse has something to say. Each one could stand alone, but when you put them together, the message is great. But I want to take one out today that we're going to talk about, and it's going to be a little bit different program today, but we're so glad that you've tuned in. But it's in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 15. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Right now in our whole nation, in our land, our country, our world, there's some rejoicing, but many, many, many are weeping. And we want to take time to talk about that today. Alex, I know you've had a great weekend in Arkansas. I heard about that. That is fantastic. We want to hear about that. But also, we have a special guest on that is returning. But before we get to him, tell us a little bit about Arkansas. How'd it go, brother?
Well, thanks very much, Bert. It's great to be with you. It was just a blessing to be in that beautiful part of the country in the Ozarks. And at Bella Vista Community Church, Pastor Gary Crandall, great event. People came from Missouri. People came from Oklahoma. We even had one lady came all the way from Florida to Arkansas. That's a long way. And so just the way the Spirit of God was moving and people coming forward to pray for a variety of things and pray for our nation, it was a real blessing. And, you know, the weekend was great. The Lord got me home safely back to North Carolina, and we're certainly praying for Western North Carolina. But, Bert, right now, like so much of the nation and the world, I'm concerned about Israel. And I'm also concerned that our government remains a friend to Israel. I've often said I feel like the best favor any president could do for the American people is to be a strong ally to Israel. And so we have a repeat guest with us from Israel, and I'm excited to hear from him.
We are, and he has become a dear friend of Exploring the Word and Exploring Missions, the other program that I do, and it's Sergey Brozov. Sergey, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, how are you? Thank you. Thank you so much for hosting me again.
You're still with Chosen People, a great ministry that is reaching all people, but especially focusing in with the Jewish population to let them know Jesus is Messiah. How's it going with Chosen People?
Yes, it's going great. I moved to New York. I live in New York City, where the population of the Jewish people are about 2 million people. Yes, I'm working with students right now. We have weekends, every weekend an event, a Shabbat meal, where we break bread with students and we share the gospel with them. And we just have a lot of work with young adults right now in the city, which is amazing.
Well, Alex, you know, Sergey is working with a great ministry.
Yes.
But, sir, I wanted to go back to October the 7th. This is where we kind of came and knew you about a year ago, a little before that. And then you had to go back to Israel, and you were ministering there. We know what's taken place a year ago today, what happened with Hamas and them invading the southern territory, killing around 1,200, taken around 250 hostages, and over 100 of them, or around 100, are still taken there. Some of them are dual citizenship, America and Israel, and so we're concerned is there. But, Sergey, just give us an update of what you know concerning your family there in Israel. Would you do that, brother?
Sure. Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, as you know, today is the memorial of 1 year. And for a lot of Israelis, it doesn't feel like it's been a year. It feels like one big October 7th. So it's just a long, long time. And unfortunately, we are still in war. We are still trying to find the hostages in the Gaza Strip on the south side of Israel. That's where I'm from, near Ashkelon. My family is doing good. They still live there. They don't have anywhere else to go. They live in Ashkelon. It's about 8 miles away from the Gaza Strip. There's not a lot of rockets flying from there. Although today, I think about 2 hours ago, we had a barrage of rockets from Gaza to the Tel Aviv area and into the middle of the country. But the army is still fighting in Gaza. You know, soldiers are still there. We're still praying for them, helping as much as possible. But also, you probably heard in the news that we have another front in Lebanon now. Because from October 8th, as soon as Lebanon started to attack us on the north of the country in Israel, and I think the Israeli government decided that it's enough. And you know the news a little bit with everything going on with Hezbollah. But now we are also fighting there on the north of Israel. So that's the situation so far.
Alex, go ahead, brother.
Well, let me ask you this. Tell me about the situation in North Israel and the IDF and how really Hezbollah and Hamas is that I've heard been working to maximize civilian casualties, which is very sad. But can you give us some update about northern Israel?
Yes, as much as I know, and again, it's a lot of information that kind of comes secondhand. But about 80,000 people from the Israeli side had to relocate and had to move out from their homes because they can't live anymore close to the border with Lebanon. Lebanon claimed, and it's Hezbollah.
Okay, I think we lost
him. Did we lose him?
Yeah. If we can, let's try to reconnect and just finish or see if he can talk. But, Alex, this is what's going on. Besides all that is Iran and the rockets that they let go Tuesday was just beyond measure. Over 180 of those ballistic. They had 12 minutes after being launched in Iran to get to Israel. Okay, you're back with us, Sergey. Finish about what you were talking about, northern Israel, but also last Tuesday, when we had the barrage of rockets that were coming from Iran over all of Israel. Just update us a little bit, and we're going to pray because we felt like it would be good for all of us to be praying for Israel. Go ahead, Sergey. Okay, we're getting he's in and then he's out, so we may not have to get a better signal. But Alex, it is tremendous. 7 different places that the attacks are coming from, and some of them were inward. Right before that 180 ballistic missiles, there were 2 gunmen that came out of a store and killing people there individually before they were killed. Israel is being attacked on every side, aren't they?
Well, they really are. And, you know, at the UN a couple of weeks ago, there was a global meeting on what's called multilateralism, which is another name for globalism. And what was so sad, I've got 2 colleagues that were there, one of whom was a speaker, one of the rare speakers about national sovereignty for America. But at any rate, the sad thing about it is, other than whenever Netanyahu or one from Israel speaks or someone from America who is pro-Israel speaks, at the UN, I mean, there's really almost not an acknowledgement of Israel's right to exist as a nation. And one of the characteristics of any people group from time immemorial is the right to self-defense. And what's very unsettling And I'm not saying this only because of what I know about Israel from the Bible, although I absolutely believe what the Bible says, the covenant promises of God to Israel for the land and them as a nation. But Bert, I'm saying this, no nation in world history has been denied the right to self-defense in the court of world opinion. And so when you've got a wonderfully large nation like America, it is imperative for world stability, not to mention obedience to the scripture, and I would refer people to Genesis 12, but for the stability of the world, it's imperative that America and Israel remain allies. It is a safer world when we have a strong Israel. Amen. And an ally with the United States. So this is, our planet could be on the brink of World War III.
Yeah.
And so we need to pray for the safety and the preservation of Israel.
We really do. And so there's two things I think that America has remained as free and as strong as we are. I believe it's the church and those that are missional, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you, that's why we're still here. The church is still here that we might carry out the great commission of Christ that he told us to do, go into all the world and make disciples. The other reason I think America is as strong as we are, and we're weaker now, I think, but we've been a friend to Israel. Those two things, as much as anything, and I've looked at the scriptures, but also looked to see at history. Those two things are very prominent. So we wanted Sergey on. We've been unable to reestablish, but we appreciate him so much. Alex, I just feel like we need to pray for Israel, and we're going to go on and look at Romans, but we're also going to be talking about other things that we need to pray for. And I know the other the programs have been doing this, but we felt like exploring the Word today with everything that's going on. We need to take time in that, and we do want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, just like that lady in Arkansas that was saved on Friday night. And Buena Vista Community Church, what a blessing it was. What a blessing it was for me at Unity Baptist Church Sunday, and see what God has done. But let's pray for Israel. Would you mind leading us in that prayer right now before we go to break, brother?
Let's do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, and first and foremost, Lord, we give you glory, and we're so grateful that you gave us life, and Lord, you've revealed yourself to us, and not only can we be saved through faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the promised Redeemer, the Redeemer of Israel, the Redeemer of the Gentiles, the Redeemer of whosoever will may come to him. Thank you that we know you. And thank you, Lord, that we know what's going on in the world. We know the story of Abraham and the land of Israel. And we know historically the dispersion in March of 70 AD. We also know the prophesied regathering of Israel, which took place May 14, 1948. So we realize also, Lord, that we are very much in the end times. And so we pray in the spirit of Psalm 122, verse 6, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, I pray that any scheming or planning evil, murderous, terrorist acts, Lord, that you would put up a roadblock against that. Lord, we know the ultimate solution is that the Islamic terrorist would find salvation, and that the children of Ishmael would put down their weapons and stop trying to kill and eradicate the children of Isaac. Lord, we pray for the Spirit of God to envelop our world. Lord, and I pray for our leaders. Lord, I pray that our government, whoever occupies the White House and the Congress, that they would understand how we must stand with the precious Jewish people. We commit them to you. We ask for safety and blessing and peace in your land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12, a few more verses, and we're also going to talk about what America needs, revival. Stay tuned for more on Exploring the Word. If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. Seems so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. That's that song, Signs of the Times. Now, Bert, I've heard several versions of that song, but Brent Austin did, we call that a deep cut. He went way back and got one of those good 70s versions, and you could hear that bass guitar in there.
See, I figured you would know that. When Brent and I were listening to it, we thought, man, Alex will pick up on the guitar part. Good work, Alex.
Amen. This is a full-service Bible teaching radio show. We have scripture, we have prayer, and we have what we believe is just great music.
Amen. But, we do. And that it was older, but what a sign that is.
Exactly.
What a song it is. It's full of the signs. How much closer it is today. We don't know when it's going to happen, Alex, but we're assured it's going to, and we need to get ready and get as many people ready as we can.
Amen. Well, you know, we often cite Galatians 4:4 that says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. You know, some of the Christmas songs like, O Come, Emmanuel, long promised Messiah. And I know there might have been times before the birth of Christ in the Bethlehem manger. Maybe there were people that thought, you know, where is this Savior? He's never going to come and be born. And yet He was, and the church age has gone by. Just as He came the first time, right on time, He's going to come back a second time. And so, you know, it may be in our lifetime, Bert. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever thought this, but I fully expect to be alive when Jesus returns. Have you ever felt that way, Bert?
I do right now. I have, and I do. And I just tell you, people are talking about it. When I was at church Sunday, several people just talked about, look what all's happening. I know there's wars and rumors of wars. I know there's famine. I know there's flooding. Death is occurring. Unrest is all over on every continent that we find out. You know, this unrest, lawlessness is running rampant. And so, yes, I believe that song was relevant, that his coming is closer today than it's ever been. So, Alex, speaking of difficulties, the weather pattern, again, don't get me started on what all that is. I just know that Helene was serious. It left horrible damage there in your state of North Carolina, South Carolina, all of Appalachia, Florida, and Georgia. And now Hurricane Milton has been upgraded to Category 5, and it's headed to the western side of Florida, and just damage is a real possibility. So we want to pray for them. They're having an evacuation, so we want that to happen. We know Taiwan Man, they're saying what's happening with China and all of our attention on Ukraine and all of our attention on Israel, that China is growing, you know, wanting to grow more power, and their desires take over Taiwan. So, Alex, on every side, what we read about in the Bible, and here's the words you hear about it, and it says, oh, it's biblical. It's apocalyptic. It is difficult days, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's why we always say, you know, have your house in order. And number one, make sure that there's been that moment when you put your faith in Christ and are born again, and you're walking with Christ, and all is well with your soul. But we are to help as many others come to know Christ as we possibly can. And, you know, the Bible says the night cometh when no man can work. And so in the spirit of obedience, in the spirit of good stewardship, in the spirit of compassion for the souls of others, and in the spirit of accountability, that every Christian will give an account for what we did post-salvation. And Bert, I know we need to get into Romans chapter 12, but I just really believe that every Christian, and I know we've all got different opportunities and different assignments. Not everybody is going to be Charles Stanley or Billy Graham or David Jeremiah. They had their assignments. I believe we have ours. But Bert, I sincerely believe every single born-again Christian has a role to play in Christ's great commission. Don't you think that?
Alex, I don't only think it. I know it according to the Word of God. The Bible makes it plain in Romans and Corinthians that every believer has been given a grace gift, and they're to use it to edify the body of Christ, evangelize the lost, and make much of Jesus. And that's what we're to do. And speaking of Romans 12, I think this verse really does tie in with us. We went over chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and we mentioned verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. You see, Corinthians, Paul made it plain, without love, all of the things you do, they're nothing, absolutely nothing. But then it adds it in that same verse, the way they've divided it up. It says two things, and it goes along with what we're talking about, and I think how to pray concerning Israel, concerning Taiwan, concerning our election here in the United States. It is abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, yes. It did not say what is perfect. Oh, we're not going to find Israel, the nation of Israel. We don't agree with every decision they make, but we agree that they should exist, and we should protect their right to exist as a nation, yeah, as a people. We know Taiwan. China wants to take them over. We agree that the people of Taiwan has already paid a great price when they, the communists took over the mainland China, and they exited to Taiwan and established that country there. We want them to exist. It's important for us for them to exist. In America, we have two parties. We have two candidates primarily that are running for president. Now, it says abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. You can look at the platform of what some are declaring on one side, and all you could say is, listen, taking the life of a baby all the way up through, now it's evil anytime. But nine, yes, months within 1 week of them being born and ready? No, no. So, listen, those of you that are having difficulty say, well, I just can't vote for this person because, you know, of what they say, what they've done in the past. It doesn't say cling to that which is perfect. It says good. And what he has brought to the table, freedom, and economic prosperity, the possibility of it, so missions can be carried on, so like ministries at AFR, we're going to go into Share-a-thon so that people have money that they can share with what God is doing. Alex, to me, it's clear. How about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My goodness. It is not hard to figure out how a Christian would vote in this upcoming election. But let me just say this as we get into this time. I just hope people are praying for our nation. And I don't want to deviate. There's so much political, and believe me, I live in it. I do interviews all day long. I'm not at all disinterested in talking about the political. But I want to say this, for the Christian, our worldview and our life and our priorities are to be taken from the pages of God's Word. You know, regarding life, here is the thing, and Christian ethicists throughout the history, from Augustine to Norm Geisler to Robertson McQuilkin to Robbie George of Princeton, I mean, past and present, here's the thing. Unless it is self-defense or national defense, nobody has the right to take the life of another person. And we have legal protection for the unborn. Now, abortion is just one issue at all. But I want to say this. When the Supreme Court recently overturned Roe versus Wade, no one lost any rights because abortion is unconstitutional. Abortion, there is no constitutional right to take the life of another human being unless it is self-defense or national defense. Now, Romans 13, 1 through 7, and we'll get to Romans very soon, probably tomorrow. But, you know, soldiers and peacekeepers and first responders, the Bible says they do not bear the sword in vain, but they're actually ministers of God to keep the peace. But, you know, even those that claim to be Christians, I've debated in dialogue with some, Bert, and they'll talk about a woman's right to choose. No, none of us, unless it is self-defense or national defense, you don't have the right to take the life of another person. There's a lot we could say, but folks, our Constitution recognizes the God-given right to life. That's called a natural right, the right to life. And therefore, we have legal protection for the unborn. And I'm going to say this, Bert, and I'll throw it back to you, but you and I both have been privileged. We knew Chuck Colson and Jerry Falwell and Phyllis Schlafly and D. James Kennedy. And I met, but you truly, truly knew the late Dr. Don Wildman, right? Well, in the 1970s, those people and others I could name, Tim LaHaye and Bill Bright of Campus Crusade and Billy Graham, many of the prescient, very discerning Christians like James Dobson, they said, if we take away the constitutional right to life, the most fundamental moral precept, the protection of innocent life, and what could be more innocent, obviously, than a precious, helpless little baby? But if we mainstream the convenience killing of the unborn, we will lose our moral compass and the culture will degenerate and unravel. And look at us now. Even though, yes, thank God, Roe versus Wade got overturned, and at least on paper we have legal protection for the unborn, but everyone from Don Wildman to Jerry Falwell and James Dobson, they warned us that America would lose our heart and soul and moral compass if we countenance the killing of the unborn. And I think we're in bad shape for a lot of reasons, but the most pressing of which is that we need to once again acknowledge the sanctity of human life.
Amen, Alex. Well said, and it needs to be heard. I pray those of you that are listening will have heard that again. We wish some of the candidates would be stronger on that, but some are just so they're anti-life, and that's the whole idea, so we go with that. Now, Alex, I want to read two or three verses here in the last part of Romans 12. And again, I want you to comment on it. Look at verse 18, and I think this has something to do with what we're talking about today. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I want to just tell you, concerning Israel, they were minding their own business a year ago, and Hamas comes in and just slaughters 1,200 people close to it that were just, they were living their lives, beheading them, burning them. It was horrible. You can't live with that. You cannot. And then the indiscriminate firing of the missiles on targets that are filled with people, not what Israel does. Know where the target is. And then the enemy, they put people in those places so they can use it as propaganda to say, look how many people killed with these rockets. Live peaceably with all men as much as possible. Sometimes it's not possible, and that defense has to come up, the right to defend. The other scripture that I wanted to do before we go out to the third segment, and we're going to take phone calls. And by the way, that number is 888-589-8840. We would love to have your Bible question today. We'd also love to have your prayer request. We would receive that. But verse 21, Alex, before I throw it back to you, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if we're not careful, we'll understand that good as being wishy, just empty, nothing. No, be strong and courageous. That's exactly what I told Joshua to do, to be that good kind of man. Caleb, who was a mountain climber and a giant killer, he says he has wholly followed the Lord. And so they were doing good. And many times that good is standing up for that which is innocent, that which is has the right to do so. So, Alex, doing good is not always giving place to evil, is it?
That's true. That's true. And, you know, it goes on there, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And it goes on, talks about doing good to your enemy. Do you remember when Andy was trying to get Opie to do something good? And he said, the other day I gave my friend Jimmy something. And Andy said, what was that? Opie said, a sock in the head.
Yeah, I remember
and
that one.
Andy said, no, I mean something just for the joy of giving. And Opie said, oh, I enjoyed it. That was pretty funny. But here's the thing. Very often in life, we have to be the bigger person and forgive somebody. And you might think, well, I don't like to do that. When it says give place under wrath, in the Greek, that's the word tapas, like topology, a place. All right, so what do you do when you want to get even and you know you shouldn't? Where do you take that wrath? You lay it at the cross.
Amen.
And remember this, we didn't deserve forgiveness, but Jesus forgave us. Therefore, we can, and I believe we should, forgive those that we feel like in our life have hurt us, but maybe don't deserve it.
Good word, Alex. Are you ready to take phone calls in the last segment, brother?
888-589-8840. That's the number. Call us with a Bible question. We'd love to hear from you.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net. God raises up leaders who follow His direction and serve Him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise His standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary, Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie. Culturewarrior.movie.
When the thief takes, when our hopes cave, you build us back. You build us back. When the earth shakes.
Amen. God rebuilt the wall. He can rebuild our lives. Thank you, Brent, for good songs. Well, we're going to go straight to the phone lines because we've got a lot of folks waiting to get their question. So we're going to go straight to the phone lines and talk to Robert in Ohio. Robert, thank you for calling.
Yeah, my question is, can you be a Christian and not believe in the Trinity? Because I have a friend that's a Oneness Pentecostal, and okay. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Okay, I've got some of those friends as well, Robert. And when they talk about what God has done, what God's done in their lives, it would be hard for me to say they're not believers. I think they're, Alex, I would say they haven't the full concept of what the Word of God says about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How would you answer that?
Well, yeah, and yeah. You know, it's one thing to be untaught, and it's one thing to know truth and reject it. You know, when I've talked to people that deny certain really foundational biblical truths, I think, you know, why would you want to deny what the Bible is really, really clear about? And I know that the Oneness Pentecostals hang their entire worldview on really one verse of Scripture. And by the way, that's always dangerous when you build a whole system of theology just based on one verse. But I'm like you. I'm not going to say they're not born-again believers, but I will say this. When you come to truth that's revealed and you understand truth, but you obstinately reject known truth, you're just not going to grow, you know. Bert, and here's the thing. There's an old saying in business that everyone rises to the level of their incompetence. In other words, there becomes a place that they do not grow beyond. And I don't want to be that person. That's why I'm always saying, Lord, please keep me teachable. And so, look, 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But if you're going to deny the Trinity, again, it's one thing to be untaught and maybe perhaps ignorant about the full revelation of God's nature. But it's another thing when you come across it to deny it. What are you going to do with Matthew 17 and the Mount of Transfiguration? What are you going to do with the baptism of Jesus? And you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, what are you going to do when you've got, you know, 2 Peter 1:17 through 18, and you've clearly got the Trinity. Bert, I think somebody could be born again and just not know, but if you're going to reject and even try to suppress what the Bible is very explicitly clear about,
it's a different
that's
matter.
Unsettling,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. Let me just share this with those. Understanding, not understanding, or not completely getting it doesn't deny the truth of the Trinity. We've had folks call in, give this illustration. Let me give you this one. There's never been one that adequately conveys to us the truth of the Trinity, that God himself could be Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with nothing diminished and, occurring and being present while Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, making intercession to the Father on the throne. The Holy Spirit is down here working in believers. It's an amazing fact of truth. And listen, when you get a hold of that fact, it's better than, quote, that knowledge of saying, oh, our God is just one God, but being one God being displayed at two different persons, at three different people. And no, it is the Trinity, and we appreciate that. Let's go to Larry in North Carolina. Thank you, Larry.
Hey, Bert and Alex. Listen, I got a sensitive topic here. My church, I tried to get them to do a viewing of Letter to the American Church. You're familiar with that film?
Amen. We are very familiar. I know the people that produced it, and it's phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah, so the deacons shut it down. They didn't want it shown because they didn't want to delve into politics. So fast forward a few months to this past Wednesday, I brought in some Faith and Freedom voter guides. you know, it says this side believes this, this side believes this. And come Sunday, somebody had thrown those things in the trash, and then they had a meeting with the pastor, who's a new pastor, and the deacons said they didn't want those voter guides out for display for the congregants to take part, partake of. And it's really unsettling for me, considering we're up coming up on probably the most important election we've ever had. And how do I approach this scripturally to convince church leadership that, hey, we need to keep the congregation informed, and they need to vote. Everybody doesn't know how to vote.
Yeah. Alex, go ahead and answer it. You deal with this all the time.
What are the deacons doing running the church?
Well, there you go.
You know, there's a video on YouTube by Paul Washers, W-A-S-H-E-R-S, and he's a leader. And somebody asked him, what is the greatest threat to the American church? And I know everybody thinks he's probably going to say, oh, you know, Marxism or wokeness or, you know, political correctness. And he says the greatest threat to the American church are pastors who are not being what the New Testament says a pastor should be.
Amen.
And they don't have conviction, courage, and the willingness to proclaim. And let me say, and I've been in a few churches too where the deacons thought that they were the deacon board running the church. And look, I respect people. You know, just like Romans 12, 18 says, I want to live and work peaceably with everybody. But may we say it on record, the deacons do not run the church. And if you're in a church where the deacons are some, you know, a little bored thinking they call the shots and the pastor works for them, they are egregiously mistaken.
Preach it, brother. Amen. Larry, let me just suggest I would go and have a conversation with my pastor in love. And I would take one of those and say, I want to lay it out before you. This is not saying what, it's saying what they should do. Because if I read the scriptures right, you've been charged as pastor to equip the saints. That's what it says in Ephesians. And part of your responsibility is stewardship. Do you teach stewardship? Ask him the question. What about the stewardship of our citizenship, which is to vote? Don't you think it needs to be equipped to be able to vote correctly, equipped to do so? That's what I would do, Larry, and I would do it quickly, and because I want to tell you, Paul Washer is right concerning pastors not doing what they need to do, and so let's pray about that, Alex.
Yes.
Let me pray on this one. Father,
yes.
I thank you for Larry, and I think we got a lot more people out there that know what they need to do, and they're trying to do it, but they are being stopped by people who have, with all my heart, are ignorant of what the church's ministry is. It is first the gospel. But I want to just tell you, we're living in a day when the freedom to speak and even broadcast and speak the truth of your word may be challenged, and even has been challenged in a few places. So, Father, I pray that you would help pastors know what they need to do to equip the saints, not just how to teach at Sunday school class, but how to live in a world that is going mad. And part of that in America is our citizenship, because our Constitution said, we the people. So if the Christians are not going to be involved, that means the ones that are evil, that abhor evil, we're to abhor that, they're making those decisions. So, Father, I pray you'd help Larry, and I pray for their pastor. I pray for those deacons that they would look to see what you want them to be and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Larry. We appreciate you, brother. Keep it up. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Sandy. Sandy, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I totally enjoy the two of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've asked this question before, but it doesn't want to stay with me. should Christians be cremated?
Okay. Alex, we do get that question a lot. Sandy, let me just share with you. I want to set this up. I think there's freedom in this. We get the same question about tattoos. I think there's freedom in that. But let me just share with you. A lot of people that I know that I love, respect, they love the Word of God, they're doing it missionally because they're saying, I can go through cremation. God can put the ashes together as well as he could the bones and the flesh when it comes time for that. And he can put the ashes together as well. And so it will cost a lot less, which will leave a lot more money to do missions and to help others. Alex, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible doesn't specify mode of burial necessarily. But by the way, thank you for being so conscientious and wanting to know the mind of Christ on this. Listen, whether a body was traditionally buried and interred or cremated, when the trumpet sounds and the first resurrection and the bodies emerge to get their glorification, it won't matter whether someone decomposed after years and years of burial or they were cremated. Everybody in the born-again bride of Christ will come forth. Now, I will say this. As far as I know, the only time Hebrews, ancient Israelites, ever cremated was Saul and his sons. Do you remember that? That had died, Bert, and that was back in 1 Samuel, I think, 31. Traditionally, the method of burial has been interment in the ground, like we think of. In modern times, in the spirit of economics, and for sometimes it's just not really feasible, more and more and more people in the West have opted for cremation. Bert, I think it's a matter of personal conviction, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you agree?
I agree.
Freedom in Christ.
Let me just suggest one thing. Those of you that cremated, go ahead and spend some money on a headstone. And if you have to put that canister there, do that, whatever, put the ashes on top. Headstones can really be missional. If you put the right Bible verse on there or the right saying, it really will speak to people's heart, because usually when people come to a cemetery, they're coming with wanting to know something. And you can make that headstone a messenger of the good news of Christ. That's just free as well. Thank you,
Amen.
Sandy. Let's go to Minnesota and talk to Wade. Wade, thank you for calling.
Amen, guys. I got a two-part. I got a comment, and then I'll follow it up with my question to save time. In thinking about God judging a nation and giving it over to its sins, I think if we are not being judged, America, yet, it's sure going to be look worse when we do. And I just feel that we as believers can set ourselves apart and say that we do not agree with the trajectory our government is on in regards to abortion, to the homosexual movement, to the seem-to-be waning support of Israel. And I think a vote cast for the current administration is telling everybody, including God, that I am fine with the trajectory we are on. I condone it, and shakes our fist at God. And also, I think not voting is doing the same thing. My question is, how does God judge a nation or give it over to its sin? Is it based on its government, if they're going the wrong direction? Is it based on a majority? Is it based on his people within that nation? And, I mean, how do we, because I don't agree with the sins that our government condones and is pushing, but am I going to be lumped into that judgment with those who are guilty of that?
When I read the book of Jeremiah, Alex and Wade, I see the judgment that would come upon Edom, the judgment of all the countries around Israel, and they are judged by really two things, what they thought of God, how they did not worship him, and how they treated others. A nation is judged on those things, aren't they?
They really are. You know, Romans 1:18 talks about people that suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. The Bible warns about men who love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. To Wade's question about will the godly moral people suffer? Yeah, at least to a point. I mean, the Bible speaks of the Christians and it says we are not appointed unto wrath. But look, you know, somebody could be a devout born-again Christian, but if a drunk driver crosses that center line, they might feel what we might call collateral damage. So the giving up or letting go to a reprobate mind, I mean, that's crossing an invisible line that only God knows when it is. But the sad reality is, I think we've seen this throughout history. I mean, there were godly Christians in Germany, but when the pastors let the Third Reich take over, even godly Christians suffered as well. See, the Bible says, no man lives unto himself. Sin has repercussions.
Yeah, one of the things you can ask is, what does somebody else's sin cost me? It does cost. Mm. When a father or mother sins, it costs so much to their children. Yes, innocent people do get harm from what a nation or leaders do. Alex, tomorrow is Share-a-thon. We can't wait to share that with others. We'll hear listener testimonies about people whose lives have been changed through the power of the gospel. I'm excited about that, brother.
I heard it all weekend, people enthusiastically talking about how AFR has changed their life. So please be in prayer, please participate, and together let's evangelize the world. May God bless you, and thank you for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.